can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Today I want to call your attention to Philippians 4 and 6. And I want to encourage you by telling you, don't worry, be happy. Turn to Philippians 4 and 6 where you'll find our scriptural text. When you have it, say amen. All right, let's begin reading now. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Now turn to your neighbor and help me if you don't mind and say, neighbor, don't worry. Be happy. Yeah. That wasn't no good, neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, don't worry. Be happy. Now give God some praise for that. I want to share in 1988, Bobby McFerrin introduced that song, and it was a song that went international in its reach. It was a song that was sung by multicultures, multi-ethnic groups, multi-socioeconomic groups, all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances, because it touched the core of the reality that God would have for his people. Now here you have Paul telling us virtually the same thing. Don't worry. Be happy. Because you can't give thanks and not be happy. So the text says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if that don't tell you to don't worry, I don't know what does tell you that. Because when the word says be careful, that word careful means anxious. It means worry. It means uptight. So Paul says be worried for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be uptight for nothing. But in everything, meaning not when you get out of it, not when you make it through it, but while you're in it, he wants you to recognize there's something you can do about it. Besides complain, besides pouting. You know, if you've ever listened to the lyrics of that word, the words to that song, it says, in every life there will be some troubles, but worrying only makes them double. he goes on to talk about life necessities and issues with life. But in the midst of those, he says, don't worry, be happy. Now listen, it's not just an encouraging word from a secular artist. This is an encouraging word from the man of God. Paul himself encouraging the church, encouraging the believers to not worry. If you worry, you do not believe. If you worry, you do not trust God. If you worry, you do not have faith. But listen at this. If you recognize that no matter what you're in, you can do something about it, then it changes your perception about the situation that you find yourself in. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Why does Paul say that? Because he learned that God is still in control and that God has got this thing fixed. My brothers and sisters, the devil wants us to worry, not God. What do you have to worry about when you know what the word says? See, the only reason why people worry is because they either don't know the word, they don't believe the word, or they don't trust that what the word says is real. Because if you trust it, you don't doubt it. If you believe it, you receive it, and you settle back and wait till God decides to work that situation out. Look at what he says. But by the first thing is prayer. Prayer. Prayer is powerful in the heart and mind of a true believer. There is great effect from those who are believers in the word, the will, and the way of God. When they pray according to God's word. God, you said. And I got news for you. That's a confidence you have in God when you can remind him of what he said in his word. God loves his word. And when you attach your faith to God's word, that excites God. God said, listen, listen. What did I say? And when you tell God what he says, it lets God know that you're believing God to do what God promise you. Listen, the prophet Isaiah was sent to King Hezekiah's palace. He sent Isaiah to Hezekiah with a simple message. Get your house in order, because you shall die and not live. The Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed, listen at this, a 30-word prayer. By the time Isaiah had gotten to the courtyard, God said, Isaiah, turn around. Go back and tell Hezekiah, I've seen his tears and I've heard his prayer and I've added 15 years to his life. Hezekiah wasn't worried when he heard the man of God tell him, listen, you're going to die and not live. Get your house in order. What he chose to do was pray. Now let me help you understand something. Instead of arguing with Isaiah, he let Isaiah walk on out, because this was between him and the messenger. This was between him and the master. So he called him up and told him what he wanted. and God heard him. The prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel, the people of God vacillating between good and bad, right and wrong, up and down, good and evil, and on and on and on. And he stood up and said, you need to make up your mind whose side you're going to be on. If it's God, then worship God. If it's Baal, then worship Baal. But we need to make up our mind today that one of them and one only should be the God we serve. And listen, he had 850 members of Baal's team against him, the only prophet of God, to challenge and see which God would answer by fire. On Mount Carmel, Elijah said, well, I'm already outnumbered. Y'all go ahead and call on your God Baal. And if Baal answers by fire, and he burns up the sacrifice, which was the bullock cut up on the altar, then we will worship Baal. But if my God answers by fire, who consumes the bullock and brings down fire, then we will serve my God. They made that deal. The prophets of Baal, get this now, prayed from 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock before Elijah said a word. He said, people of Baal, maybe you ought to call a little bit louder. Maybe your God is on vacation. Maybe he's got hearing problems. Maybe he's sleeping. Call on him a little bit higher. They hollered a little more from 12 to 3 o'clock, and Baal did not answer. Why? Because he had eyes, couldn't see. Ears, couldn't hear. Hands, couldn't help. Feet, couldn't walk. He was not real. At 3 o'clock, Elijah said, excuse me, it's my time to call on my God. Put the bullock on the altar, dug a trench around the altar, place 12 stones around the altar, put water on top of the bullock, the sacrifice, on the altar. Got another pail of water, put that on the bullock. Got another pail, put that on it. He got 3 pails of water, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost, and stood back and prayed a 63-word prayer. And God rained down fire from heaven. Burned up the bullock, burned up the altar, burned up the stones, licked up all the water, left no doubt in nobody's mind that he was God all by himself. With a 63-word prayer. Peter did what no other man could do, save Jesus. Ask Jesus to let him walk on water. He prayed 11 words to get out on the water. But when he lost his faith, he began to sink and cut 8 of those 11 words off in another prayer and simply prayed a 3-word prayer. Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him with a 3-word prayer. That says to me, prayer is powerful. It doesn't have to be long to be strong. When you know what you're talking about and when you know who you're talking to, you just need to call him up and tell him what you want. Start off with prayer. Then he moves to supplication. What is supplication? Supplication is an earnest plea. It is a sincere desire. It means to God, you really mean it. One illustration in Luke 18, that was a widow woman who had gone to a judge who didn't reverence God and didn't respect man. And this little widow woman went there to get vengeance on her enemy, to have the judge to avenge her. But he overlooked her. And she came back to the court the next day. And she stood up in his presence. And he tried to overlook her. But what she appealed the first time, she did the second time. He didn't do nothing about it. The next day she came, did the same thing. He didn't do nothing. The next day she showed back up again. He finally realized, if I don't do something about this woman's request, she's going to come to my courthouse every day and bug me with her presence. Because here's what the woman knew, that he was the only person who could do something about her problem. So she refused to take her problem to anybody who couldn't do anything about her problem. So she kept going back until he answered her request. And he did it because that woman, he said, if I don't do it, will drive me, paraphrase, batty. Why? Because she was sincere. She pleaded with him just with her presence, showing up. She did what Jacob did when the angel came, wrestled with him all night long, told him, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He was sincere. But perhaps one of the greatest illustrations beyond the word that I can share, it's just one of my favorite illustrations about supplication, was when a man by the name of Fred G. Sampson took his young son to Macy's. And he took him shopping. And every aisle they went down, little Fred said, oh, daddy, daddy, I want this. And he turned around and said, come on, little Fred. And they walk on down the next aisle. And little Fred was shouting, oh, daddy, daddy, I want this. Look at him. Come on, little Fred. They go down the next aisle, and the same thing happened over and over again until they got to the sporting goods section. Little Fred put on a baseball cap, grabbed a baseball bat in one hand, a glove, put it on, and put a ball in the glove. And shouted, daddy, daddy, I want this. Daddy looked at him and said, come on, little Fred. And he walked on down the next aisle. And he was waiting to hear little Fred say, daddy, daddy, I want this. But little Fred didn't say nothing. He walked down the next aisle. Little Fred didn't say nothing. Then he looked back. Notice he didn't see little Fred. So he started backtracking, thinking about when was the last time I heard him say, I want this. And he backtracked 2 hours, and there was little Fred with a baseball cap on his head, a glove and a ball in one hand, and a bat over his shoulder with tears running down his eyes. And his daddy said, now he wants that. And he got that for him. Why? Because he was sincere and earnest about his plea for that. God knows when we just asking him for stuff. And he knows when we really mean it. And when we truly mean it, he knows we're going to stay right there until we get what it is we have requested of him. A whole lot of us ask God for things and our hearts are unsincere. Are insincere, or our minds are not made up. We just ask because we can, but God knows what we truly mean. And then the last thing he couples with that, is with thanksgiving. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you pray according to the word and you know that God hears us, then you know the Bible says that you will have the petition that you have asked for. You've asked of God. It's coming. You feel the release in your spirit when you ask God, petition God, request of God that thing. You get a feeling like everything is going to be all right. And because you have that assurance underneath the skin, you know all you got to do is wait on him. Because it's coming. May not come today. May not come tomorrow. May not come next week. But it's on the way. And that kind of confidence is what causes you to praise and thank him before it ever gets there. See, God gets excited about pre-praise. Somebody didn't hear me. I said, God gets excited about pre-praise. See, because those who are of true faith know that once they make the request, God has heard their prayer. Ain't nothing else to say but thank you. God, I glorify you. God, I lift you up. God, I thank you for this, for that, for whatever it is you believe God's going to do for you. You don't have to wait till you get it to say thank you. As a matter of fact, the pre-praise rushes the order. God is too much of a gentleman to take praise for something he don't deserve. So when you get to praising him and thanking him, the Lord turned to the angels. Y'all ain't got that present down to them yet. He loves to receive the praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. So that's why I want to tell the people of God, be not dismayed. Whatever betides you, God will take care of you. I wish I had a witness in the house. I don't know how you feel about it, but the word says with thanksgiving. David, can you help me here? David said, enter into his gates with praise, with thanksgiving rather, and into his courts with praise. Listen at it. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why, David? For the Lord is good. Oh, y'all don't hear me. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I'm just trying to tell somebody that God is worthy of your praise. Don't matter what the devil does. Don't matter what the devil says. Don't matter what the devil shows you. If God is on your side, then you got the victory. If you got the victory, you don't have to wait till the battle is over to get your shout on. I wish I had a witness here. Oh, God, thank you for opening up doors. I like what Paul says in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do abundantly above all you can ask or think. I wish I had a witness. Now unto him who can make your crooked places straight. Now unto him who can open doors that's been locked in your face. Now unto him who can give you health for your sickness. Now unto him who can give you riches for your poverty. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence. Anybody know him? Anybody know him? His name is Jesus. 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 I love to call his name. His name is all my trust. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, don't worry. Take it to the Lord in prayer. No matter what things look like, no matter what they feel like, no matter what they are, put your trust in the Lord, and he will work it out. Give him a hand of praise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.